We're going to go ahead and move towards conclusion in our study of the will of God. So you can take your Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of Philippians. It's going to be just a little bit before we get there this morning. But talking about the all-important topic of understanding and knowing God's will. Like I've said so many times before, I don't think there's any greater topic for the Christian than understanding what God's will is for our lives, both in general and specifically. We talked about last week, we talked about how for the Christian, it's an exciting treasure hunt. It really is, and it should be to be able to seek God's plans, His desires that He has for us, and to think that the God who created everything has certain things in mind for each one of us, specifically, individually. What a blessing that is. Let me read just for you, quickly here, some perspective on the will of God. I found this week. I thought that this was interesting. A couple of things. This one's entitled, One or the Other Must Go. At a meeting in Massachusetts, a speaker who had just delivered an urgent appeal to a group of young people to accept Christ was asked this startling question by a young girl in the audience. Sir, I should like to know how we can be Christians and have our own way. Perhaps many of us have either consciously or unconsciously asked the same question. We have sought, in a measure at least, to do God's will, but we have reserved the right to have our own way and whenever it pleases us. This is not God's plan for the Christian's life or service, and this type of mindset certainly brings unrest and conflict. This one's entitled, Knowing and Doing God's Will. Again, another perspective on the will of God. Why do we want to know God's will? Most Christians would feel that this was a strange question for those whose lives are yielded to God and have a real desire to know His plan for them in order that they may follow His will for their lives. But there is let's see here. Okay. But is there not sometimes a too great a lapse of time between knowledge and obedience? This was interesting. Dr. William L. Pettingill, interesting last name there, the well-known Bible teacher and author of many books, at a meeting in Philadelphia, made a penetrating remark on this subject. He said this, most people, he said, don't want to know the will of God in order to do it. They want to know it in order to consider it. It often takes time to learn to do it. They want to know it in order to consider it. And it often takes time to learn just what God wants us to do in any particular matter. But once we know His purpose, we ought to not delay, and at least beginning to carry it out by His grace. When obedience is prompted, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. So just some interesting perspective there on sometimes how you and I can react to this concept of the will of God and really how we can many times deceive ourselves in the process. So we have to be willing to understand God's perspective when He talks specifically about the will of God. Now, last week we were talking about circumstances and how the Lord can use circumstances to direct our lives. This, of course, is all working about in the specific will of God. We started off in that regard looking at number one, how God guides through the Bible. God will show you His specific will through godly counsel. That's part of the picture. Number three, God guides through answered prayer. Number four, God guides through circumstances. And this is something that we looked at last week. And I just want to mention this before we move on from the idea of how God guides through circumstances. And this is something that we didn't address last week. But, you know, God will also guide us through circumstances in order to, number one, correct us, but also to test us. Now, this is a part of us being sensitive to God's will in our life. You look at how God directed Jonah in his life. And we could look at that God was trying to get him back on the right road, God's will for his life. And He brought about a series of events, or we could say circumstances, really, It was God's judgment. God was trying him. He was trying to get him back on the path. And God also does that for us. So it's important for us, because we know the Lord works like that, that when we experience things, especially hardships of certain extent, it's always, I think it's a healthy thing for us to check in with the Lord. It's a healthy thing for us to say, Lord, recently I've seen some difficulty here, and is it because you're trying to get my attention in a certain area? Now, with Jonah, he had sin in his life, and the Lord was trying to expose that. He was unwilling to go the way the Lord wanted him to, and so he brings these circumstances, and God does the very same thing in our lives. And as a loving father, the book of Hebrews talks about the fact that he chastens us. He does this just as a loving father would do so for his child who's going astray and maybe acting according to his flesh or what he wants. God does the very same thing for us. So he can use circumstances to guide us, and correction and chastening would certainly be included in that process. But I would say this in regards to circumstances, and this was the caution, right, that we left off on. God's will should not be just determined by circumstances. One type of thing that happens, and then all of a sudden, hey, God's will for my life is this. No, we have to remember the big picture, right? There's several other things to consider in regards to seeking the Lord's will for my life. There was a time when I was in high school where I was sort of looking and just kind of weighing some thoughts in my mind about politics and political science and that sort of thing. I thought it would be kind of a neat thing. The Lord gave me an opportunity when I was in about 10th grade to travel to the capital of Florida and go there and do something in connection with the government there. And I thought it was the neatest thing. It was something that not everybody could do. And some people reached out to me, and I said, hey, I'd love to do that. I was gone for about a week, 10 days, and boy, I just enjoyed every minute of it. But, you know, after I got back from that, and after, you know, meeting some representatives, spending time, seeing the political atmosphere there and different things of what it was like, you know, over time, the Lord showed me that, you know, that's not really the direction he had me going. But you know, if I was so narrow-minded, I could have locked in on that opportunity and said, hey, you know, God just wants me to be in politics. And I had to remain open to what God wanted for me. Okay, so it's important that all of us, we don't get so fixated on one event or one thing that happens in our lives, but considering circumstances in the grand scheme of things. Okay, so we're going to move on from that, but I want you to notice, next of all, not only does God use circumstances to guide us, but this next one here, God guides through our right desires and interests. I'll give that to you again. God guides through our right desires and interests. Look at a couple of passages here. You're in Philippians. And could I get somebody to read for me Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13? Who's got that? Micah, if you could read that loud and clear, I'd appreciate it. Philippians 2:13.
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Okay, so we have, on the one hand, we have and we know that God desires things for us. We've talked about that extensively, okay? Which is the one side of this verse, okay? Now, turn with me to Psalm chapter, 37. Psalm 37. Everybody turn over there. This is important. I want you to see it. I want you to see it. Psalm 37. Again, God guiding through our desires and our interests. We understand that God has desires for us. We want to be in tune with those. How does the Lord use even right desires and interests that we may have in the process? Notice here, Psalm 37, look at verse 4. This is a familiar verse for us, and we even talked about it a little bit last week, but notice what it says. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Okay, now there's a lot of misinterpretation in regards to this principle. Some people make this the foundation of their Christian life. They say, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and now God's going to give me whatever I want. Okay? That is not a correct interpretation, because all of this is based on the first word in this verse. What is it? Delight. Okay? It took a little bit of time, did a word study on this, and this has the idea of something that is pliable or something that is moldable. Okay? How many of you have ever worked with clay or something over the process of time that hardens, or you've had maybe an art project where you worked with that or something like that, somebody like that. I know the gardeners have before. That's the idea of something that is moldable in your hands. You, as the artist, had the ability to move that clay and to make it what you desire. Okay, that clay later on will get hard, but in the creative process, it should be soft and moldable. Okay, many of you who have maybe not experienced the opportunity to craft with clay maybe have played with Play-Doh in your childhood days, and some of you have even eaten it. Hopefully not anybody recently. Something, again, that's soft, that is pliable, that you can easily maneuver. We spent time this past week. I've already referenced the Awana Grand Prix. You know, you buy a car, and it can be a block of wood, or it can just be a shape of a vehicle, and then you make it into whatever you're trying to do. But the downside to working with wood is the fact that it's hard. And you have to have the right, Brother Chase, you have to have the right tools, okay, in order to get it done, okay, in order to mold it and that sort of thing. Wood is not very pliable in that situation. But again, this idea of delighting in the Lord is being pliable. Okay, how is it that you and I can be pliable in our Christian life? Well, it's recognizing God's authority. Okay, if I'm going to delight in the Lord, and the promise of Scripture is that He rewards us by giving us many times the desires of our lives and hearts, then number one, I have to submit to His authority in my life. Okay, delighting in the Lord comes to the Lord and says, Lord, I recognize that You have a plan for me. And Lord, I want to follow that plan. Being pliable also has the idea of being tender to the Lord. You know, if you and I are stubborn and hard, God's not going to be able to. Now, He can break us. He certainly does. And He uses means to do that. But again, the promise is only given to those who delight, those who are pliable, those who are moldable. And I've seen the Lord do this in so many ways in my life. And the thing that we have to remember in this process of knowing and understanding God's will is that He knows us better than we know ourselves. You know, the thought that we have is God is going to lead us into something that we don't want to do, and that something's going to make us miserable. Okay, that's not how God's will works. Okay, God uses the person that we are. God uses sometimes the desires that we have in order to lead us in certain directions. When I was in college, I'd have these discussions with guys about what they felt like God was leading them to do. And they would say, well, you know, I've got a big desire to go out in the middle of nowhere, you know, out west and plant a church. You know, that's my dream. And I would hear that and I would say, wow, you know what? That would be really hard for me out in the middle of nowhere. Right. You know, and I remember struggling with that. You know, that would, Lord, hopefully you're not going to call me out to the middle of nowhere. But I'll tell you, to those people, you know, who maybe grew up in more rural settings, God was using their placement where they grew up, and where He was going to use that in order for them to be effective and fruitful in a place out in the middle of nowhere that maybe He was going to call them to someday. You know, and I always had the desire to be in a metropolitan area. And the Lord placed me there. I'm in an area with a lot of people, and I enjoy it, and I think that I thrive there. But delighting in the Lord, okay, is having a willingness to say, Lord, even if you want me out in the middle of nowhere, and Lord, you know that I'm not necessarily geared that way, I'm willing to go. Now, does that mean the Lord's going to put you there? Not necessarily. But I do believe this. I believe that if the Lord called me out in the middle of nowhere, He'd give me a heart for that. You do it. Because God, again, He uses right desires in our lives, in our hearts, to steer us in the direction that He wants us to go. You know, if you submit to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to do whatever you want, I'm willing to do whatever you want, and you continue to have that attitude and you have a strong desire in your heart to be a businessman for God, you know what? Chances are God put that in your heart. Again, everything in perspective, right? And none of these principles operate exclusively. They're all in connection with everything, and God does use our desires. A few illustrations of this, and this is kind of how I've seen the Lord do this in my own life. You know, I've always enjoyed sports, and the Lord put me in a place, in a position where I can enjoy sports year-round. That's a desire that I've had. Now, that wasn't something where, Lord, I've got to do this. If you don't do it, then we're done. Okay, no, that wasn't my attitude. My attitude was, Lord, you know the desires that I have. You know my makeup better than I do. Lord, you know, I'd love to see this happen, but, you know, your will be done. Lord did that in regards to sports. You know, there are certain smaller desires that I've had along the way that I've seen the Lord honor. In regards to singing, I really enjoy singing. It's something that when I was your age, I was in groups. I always wanted to sing a solo. Some of you are like, whoa, that's a weird desire. Okay, maybe it is, but that was one of my desires. I always thought, man, boy, to be able to get up and sing a solo. You know, in high school, I never sang a solo. I didn't. Scared to death. I never had the opportunity, but it was a desire. And after my first year of college, the Lord opened the door, gave me some opportunities, and you know, I enjoy singing now, and some of you enjoy that. Some of you enjoy other things, and it's just a desire that sits tucked in your heart, and don't be surprised if one day the Lord gives you an opportunity to fulfill that desire. Now, it may not be that, you know, it certainly was for me, that I was going to become a singer and travel all around. No, absolutely not, you know, but it may be that the Lord may take that thing that you desire to do, and He may incorporate it into the future. You know, I didn't really go many places when I was in high school. I always had a desire to travel. I think I can only count a handful of times that I went out of the state of Florida, okay, from when I was born to maybe when I graduated from high school. I always had a desire to just travel around the United States. And you know what? Again, this is something that God did. He allowed me for 4 summers to travel from my college, and I went from East Coast to West Coast 2 times. There's not many places in the U.S. that I haven't been. And I'm not saying that because I'm prideful. Again, I'm giving you examples of how God can take that desire. And when you're pliable, when you're moldable, and you say, Lord, I'm going to delight in you, boy, God will take that, and He's going to surprise you in ways that you could not even have put together. And that's just how God works. Let me tell you, following the will of God, It's an exciting treasure hunt that all of us should be concerned with and all of us should be following. So, what have we talked about today? We talked about how God guides through circumstances. We've seen how God also guides through our right interests and our desires in life. And so we should consider that. We should consider that. But we should also prove our desires to make sure that they are right desires. Make sure that they are according to God's will, number one, but according to His word as well. All right, the next principle that we don't have time for today is the last principle, okay? And it's the last thing that hopefully you are, even now, as we've gone through this extended series, I hope that all of you have been applying it to the place that you're at in your life. Maybe you're not a senior. Maybe you're not graduating and figuring out, hey, what college does God want me to do? But maybe it's in another venue. And I tell you, if you go to the Lord and you submit to these principles that are Bible-based, these are not Brother Scott principles, okay? These are principles that I have followed and have been able to see the Lord lead me in specific ways, and He can do the same for you. Okay, I know He can. All right. So anyway, we'll go through our last principle next time around, and we'll finish off the series. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You so much again for Your will for our lives. Lord, it's exciting, and Father, it's just so rewarding to be able to see, Father, Lord, I've not lived a long life, Lord, per se, but Father, I can see just in the days that I've lived, Lord, I've seen how You have, Lord, made all of the difference. Father, any dreams or desires that I could have ever put on the table, Lord, have been dwarfed, Father, by what You've done in my life. Lord, there are times that all of us want to take control. There are times that all of us want to, Lord, move into the driver's seat. But Lord, I pray that all of us would surrender that place to You. Lord, that we would be disciplined enough and patient enough, Lord, to wait on You as You lead us, and that we'd consider these five areas, and Lord, next week, the sixth area in relation to Your perfect will for us. We love You. Thank You for how that You lead us, and Lord, thank You for how You're going to lead these teenagers in future days. Speak to our hearts in the morning service, we pray in Your name. Amen.